Welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron. A busy day today. Looking forward to, we got a lot. We got a lot to get into. How about this one? Pac-12 tournament starts up tomorrow, and we're looking forward to see what those Colorado Buffaloes can do. They'll play on Thursday, the winner between Arizona State and Utah. Joining us now to talk about that and probably a few other things, Colorado Buffaloes head coach Tad Boyle. Coach, thanks so much for being with us. I know it's a crazy week for you, so we appreciate you squeezing us in.
Absolutely. Good to be with you.
Hey, first off, congratulations to you guys, making a little history, going on a crazy run, 6 wins in a row, and you get the Buffs regular season record for most wins in a season with 22. So congratulations to you and your staff, your roster, everybody over there at CU.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's a heck of an accomplishment, especially given the fact that we've overcome a lot of adversity this year with injuries and personnel situations. So really proud of our players. They've put in a lot of work and they've stayed the course. And there's lots of ups and downs during a basketball season. You know, we start in early November and then here it is mid March and we haven't even gotten to our tournaments yet. So it's a long, long season and a lot of ups and downs. So our guys persevered.
Coach, it was an interesting time there. Like you said, ups and downs, late January, early February. You guys ran into that rough patch and a lot of adversity there. I was watching the coach's show with you and with Mark Johnson and just kind of listening to your thoughts there. What's going through your mind at that stage? You know, when you go, you have a tough one against Washington State and Utah and, of course, the Arizona game, UCLA. Knowing, hey, all right, here we are, you know, Thursday, February 15th after that UCLA game. We know what we got to do. What's the thought process there with you and your staff at that stage?
It's just win the next game, Brady. It's no more complicated than that. Like, that UCLA loss was difficult because it could have gone either way. We really competed that night, in Pauley Pavilion. We just came up a little bit short. It was kind of a, down the stretch, it was kind of a make-miss game. A lot of times when you lose a game, you look at what you could have done better. You always do that as a coach and, as a program. But that game could have easily gone either way because our guys competed our tails off all night. And they made some shots down the stretch. We missed some shots down the stretch, had some good looks, and just came up a little bit short. And then we go to USC 2 days later, and we come back from 16 down, against a fully healthy USC team and win a big game in double overtime. And that gave our guys a lot of confidence, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I mean, you went on this massive run, but we talked about it. Hey, the Buffs, we know the talent that you guys have. I mean, you have so many talented players on this roster, but you knew what was in front of you. Like you said, you got to win the next game. You battle it out with USC, a couple of overtimes, and then after that, you go on this run. And I think we kept saying, all right, win this stretch against Utah, Cal, Stanford, maybe split between Oregon State. But what do I know? I have no idea how they figure this out, but here we are. I mean, you guys won 6 in a row. Coach, I was looking, is that like the most CU's won in a row in the Pac-12 since like the mid-90s or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's the first 6-game conference winning streak since 96-97 when Chauncey was here. And
wow.
And the first one to finish a conference season since like the 1950s, so which is the Final Four team that played here. So yeah, some good things, but again, it's just about winning the next game. And quite frankly, that's where we are right now. We're going to Las Vegas. We leave tomorrow. We play Thursday night, and we're going there to win one game on Thursday night. And if you do that, take care of business, then you wake up Friday morning and you see what's in front of you, and you try to do it again. So you can't win 3 games in one night. You got to win one game one night, and then live to see another day because. At this point in the season, whatever tournament you're in, whether it's a conference championship or NCAA tournament or NIT tournament, you name the postseason tournament, it's you win or you go home.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, how much has that got to help you with these last 6 games, knowing, hey, we got to win the next one. We know what it's going to take, but we can't look too far ahead. But you've been in some, you know, pressure filled situations, and so I'm wondering, you know, how much is that going to help you guys going into this situation on Thursday? That experience.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, I think what helps us is we've got some veteran guys. You know, we got some guys that have really taken ownership of this team. We've got some guys that really are playing their best basketball right now. We've started to take care of the ball better offensively. We've started to defend better and more consistently. So, I think our guys have figured out what they need to do to win games, and they've been going out and doing it. But that doesn't guarantee anything. It's about what's in front of you, not what's behind you. So in terms of how many regular season games we won, in terms of how many we've won in a row, quite frankly, that all goes out the window when you get into a tournament, because it's, again, everybody's got a new season here. Everybody's going to Vegas with the same idea. You know, they want to get hot, they want to advance, and we're no different than Utah or Arizona State, whoever we end up playing. Whoever we play, Brady's going to have a win under their belt.
Yeah, well, and you see it. We're already seeing it in some of these conference tournaments already, Coach. Number ones are losing to tens. Great teams are dropping to teams that maybe struggled. And that's what we say is, you know, we always hear you want to be playing your best sport, whatever that is, late in the season. And if you can get hot, regardless of where your standings sit, you can really make some noise in a tournament like this.
Yeah, that's what, you know, that's what makes March Madness so special, right? You know, these conference tournaments, you got teams that are, you know, coming out of nowhere, and you know, they got a new life to them. No matter how bad or good their regular season was, it all goes out the window. And the Pac-12 is no different than the Big Sky. The Big Sky is no different than the ACC. You go down every league in the country, and you got teams that are scratching and clawing and don't want their seasons to end.
Coach Tad Boyle joining us. The Buffs get set for Thursday in their second round of the Pac-12 tournament. They'll play either Utah or Arizona State. Coach, how many times have you been asked, including my follow-up question, if you think you're getting into the big dance?
I get asked all the time. And, you know, my answer is the same thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't worry about it. I don't worry about things I can't control. I worry about what kind of practice we're going to have today. I worry about, you know, what do we have to do to beat Arizona State or Utah, depending on who wins tomorrow night. And I don't concern myself with any of that other stuff.
Does it really? And it just doesn't enter your brain? Because, I mean, I think about it. I'm thinking about it right now. I was thinking about it when I got up this morning, Coach, and I'm not even involved. It just doesn't go there, huh?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's in the back of your mind. I mean, and you know, I'm not a dummy. Our players aren't dummies. And they know what's at stake. They know what we, you know, I don't think anybody knows what we have to do, but it just helps this time of year if you just win the next game. And if we just try to focus on that, and we do that more often than not, you know, we'll let the chips fall where they may. I know this. I know this is an NCAA tournament caliber team. I've coached teams that have deserved to be in the tournament and not been invited. Okay, for our first team at CU. Was a case in point. I've also coached teams that, quite frankly, got in the tournament and probably didn't deserve to be in there. I think back to the year that Spencer Dinwiddie got hurt. He tore his ACL. We were 15-3, ranked 15th in the country. And from that point forward, we were a 500 team. We got in that year, and we got spanked by 40-some points in the first round by Pittsburgh. That team was not an NCAA tournament team. Now, we got in because of what we did in November and December. But, you know, we weren't half as good as that first team that we coached at that point of the season.
So is that part of it, too? You find yourself going, hey, sometimes we thought we were good enough to get in. Sometimes maybe we weren't, but we snuck in. I have a hard time keeping track with the net rankings and the quad ones and the quad four wins and all that. I'm still not entirely sure how they – I mean, I have an idea, but I'm still not entirely sure how they sum it up at the end of the day.
It's, you know, I think every committee is different. Every year is different. And I think this year – there's so much more parity in college basketball this year that when you get to those last teams that are under consideration, I mean, it's you're splitting hairs. You really are. But if you're one of those teams like we are, you didn't take care of your business when you needed to take care of your business. And we didn't take care of our business at Cal this year. We didn't take care of our business at Arizona State this year. We didn't take care of our business, Arizona at home this year. Like, so you can point back to three to four games where we didn't do what we needed to do. And that's where we're in the position we're in. And, you don't cry about it. You don't whine about it. You just go try to win the next game.
It is interesting, though, because especially in college basketball, we put a lot of emphasis on we put a lot of emphasis on every single game, but we go way back when the season starts. You look at the non-con schedule, you go to November, clear back then, but then that's like a contradiction to a lot of the other sports we talk about when you say, oh, we want to be playing our best in our final 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games, but so much is judged upon how you played three and a half months ago.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest with you, with conference play, here's the one thing I do know about college basketball. It doesn't matter what conference you're in, you're going to beat each other up. It's going to happen. Every league in the country, you're going to, hopefully you win at home, you can split on the road, and you can, win more games than you lose and put yourself in that top half competing for a championship. But the non-conference is really the only way you can compare Colorado with New Mexico in the Mountain West, or Colorado with, Clemson in the ACC. The only way you can do that is you look at non-conference schedules and you see how well did you play, who did you play, where did you play them, who did you beat, who did you lose to, and that. Because that's really what it comes down to, is you got to compare a middle of the road Pac-12 team with a middle of the road ACC team, or Big Ten, or you name the conference, right? And so we took care of our business for the most part, but there's a lot of teams that didn't even schedule very difficult non-league games, and they won them all. Or they won, 12-1 or 13-1 in the non-conference, and sometimes those teams get rewarded, whereas the teams that go out and play somebody don't get rewarded, and sometimes they do too. Like you look at Michigan State. Michigan State does not have a great Big Ten record, but man, you can never accuse Tom Izzo of not playing a tough non-conference schedule. They take on all comers, and sometimes he gets rewarded for that. And to me, rightfully so.
We're talking to CU Buffs head coach Tad Boyle. Coach, I saw right before we got on the air here, KJ Simpson, not a big surprise there, named first team All Pac-12. Tristan Da Silva, second team All Conference pick, and then Cody Williams was named to the league's All Freshman team. What are those awards? I mean, is it just kind of a nice punctuation at the end of a season, especially hard fought in these last six games for you?
Those are individual awards. I'm proud of every young man who gets them, because those are voted on by the opposing coaches. I can't vote for any of our own players. So that's the ultimate compliment, is when you're voted on by your peers for having a great season. However, I would say this: we got a guy on our team named Javon Hadley, who is just as important as KJ is to us. He's just as important as Tristan is to us. He's just as important as Cody is to us. And he's had a hell of a year. And he doesn't get any of those individual awards. But I know, his teammates know, his coaches know, the fans that have followed our program know all year long how important he is to us. So to me, it's what are we doing as a group together? The 22 win total means a hell of a lot more to me than any of these individual awards. I'm proud of those young men, don't get me wrong. But this is a team sport, an ultimate team sport. And so whether it's, Luke O'Brien, whether it's Asan Jope or Bangat Dak coming off the bench for us, I'm proud of our whole group.
Coach, this next question, it goes to what you were talking about, you know, as far as adversity and injuries. I think the last time we had you on, I was asking you, hey, can you break some news? When's Cody Williams coming back? Same situation, same kind of question. Can you give us anything? Can you break some news here today?
Well, I don't know. The good news is he practiced yesterday.
Okay, good.
Good news is I think he's going to practice today. Now, we're not on the floor for another couple hours, but so we'll see. You know, we'll take it day by day, see how that ankle's feeling, and he's had a rough year with injuries. He had the wrist injury early, then he got popped in the eye with an elbow in practice, and played with a mask, and had a facial fracture from that, and now he twists an ankle, and he's been recovering from that. So it's been a rough year injury wise for Cody. As it has for a few of our other guys, maybe not to the extent he's had them, but he's fought through them and he's battled back and he's a tough kid. We're a much better team with Cody Williams than we are without him, I can tell you that.
Coach, on the mask thing, I was curious too, because, hey, it looks cool. I mean, these guys look awesome out there. How much does that impact their play when they're out there?
I don't think it impacts them a lot. Once you get used to it, you know, their peripheral vision isn't quite maybe what it is with the mask off. But once you play with it, you know, practice with it a week or so, you get used to it. I know they'd rather not have it, but that's a precautionary thing, and you just don't want to, you know, risk further injury. But we've had our fair share of injuries this year with. You go down the whole list.
CU Buffs head coach Tad Boyle joining us. Coach, we'll let you go after this. I just wanted to put this out there real quickly, and you don't have to get into it if you don't want. You can say let's move on or let's be done. But I did see a Rick Pitino interview yesterday talking about, and I like to pick your brain about overall college stuff, because who better to talk to about it? I know you've been vocal on some of this stuff, but Rick Pitino saying, hey, I don't think our you know, some of these games, championships should be vacated because of what happened back with Louisville. And then obviously talking about some of these other issues, you know, you just can't erase wins, losses. And I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that. Again, we don't have to go into too many details on it, but I don't know if you saw it.
I don't know what he was referring to. So I have to plead a little bit ignorant there.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was referring to. Vacated wins, I don't.
Yeah, back when, you know, obviously Louisville was under the investigation, and ultimately he was let go, and he was on a podcast called Pardon My Take.
And
you know, they went into a lot of different things, and a lot of interesting things that you and I have talked about on this show. But I've always kind of been in the middle, you know, the gray area of, okay, I get it. You should be in trouble. Should we vacate wins when guys are breaking the rules? Should we vacate championships? He even brought up Reggie Bush with the Heisman. I just wanted to get your two cents on that.
Yeah, look, I think, number one, we have rules for a reason. We have rules to try to level the playing field, to bring, hopefully, whatever the rule is. I mean, and look, I'll be the first to admit, you know, there's been a lot of really silly, I'll use that word, I could use some other adjectives, but some really silly rules through the years. And it's not my place, or really to me, any coach's place, to judge those rules. Now, we can do what we can do within the system to try to get them to be changed, if it's a silly rule. But the bottom line is, if there's a rule in the rule book that you're supposed to follow and I'm supposed to follow and we're all supposed to follow, and one of us doesn't follow it and gets caught for whatever reason, there should be some penalties. And again, I do think the punishment should fit the crime. So vacating wins, if you broke rules and somebody else didn't break rules and you have an advantage, why wouldn't you vacate a win? You know, I mean, and if you're not going to vacate a win, what's the penalty? I guess I would ask, what should the penalty be if you're not going to do that? And I think, but there has to be some sort of penalty. And unfortunately, you know, when you, for example, right now, there's level one, level two, and level three violations, okay? And to me, a violation's a violation. But they've tried to get to the punishment fitting the crime type thing, but our business, because the money's gotten so big, to me the business model of the membership, self-reporting, and the lack of enforcement of the rules is very problematic right now in our business. I will say that, in my opinion.
Well, and I mean, it's hard to disagree with you. I mean, when you look around, I love what you said too. Like, hey, we are tasked with these rules we have to follow. If somebody breaks them, then that's a domino effect. There's going to be other coaches out there, not yourself, obviously, but there's other coaches that look at it and go, wow, the pressure's on. This guy's doing it. We know he's doing it. Nothing's happening. So now we got to do it to try to catch up. And it's this never-ending cycle. And you know, the thing I look at is you can find guys, you can find teams all you want, but what hurts the most is vacating wins and championships.
What's that? I'm sorry, Brady.
Oh, Coach. No, I was just going into the fact that, hey, when you are fining these guys, or when you're punishing these guys, these coaches, these teams, we all know, you know, the money, but when you hit them the hardest is when it's, hey, we're going to vacate what you earned, those championships, those games, those whatever. That, to me, is really the only message that speaks loudly enough to do anything.
Well, the other message that speaks pretty loudly is losing your job.
Well, sure, yeah.
And that's probably the ultimate, or taking away, you know, postseason, you know, play opportunities, and there's a lot of people that argue, well, you know, why penalize the kids on the team this year when the infractions, and again, it gets back to enforcement, right, and the timeliness of the enforcement, but like when something happened 3 years ago, and you penalize, you know, this year's team. That's not fair to the kids on this year's team. And that there's a valid point to be made there, without a doubt.
Sure.
However, you know, usually there's a cloud over the program, and people know who's being investigated and who's not. And if a kid chooses to go to a program that has a cloud over it, and then it rains and washes out their season, so be it.
Well, and especially in this day and age. Coach, appreciate you. I obviously love just talking basketball with you. I love talking about the business of basketball, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I always appreciate the opportunity to do that with you, Coach.
Absolutely. Always right. Good to be with you.
Hey, good luck on Thursday. We'll be rooting for you. I think you guys have done enough, but we'll see what happens Thursday.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, see you, Buffs head coach, Tad Boyle.